Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Pin Show,
the smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
Well, all right. The Andy Pin Show is back, and I want to talk about Rush Limbaugh in this segment. Now, Rush is a right-wing talk show host, as we know, and he said something pretty amazing this week. Now, he's a 20 percenter, and the nature of a 20 percenter is that they can't actually see the forest for the trees. That's just the way it works out with 20 percenters. And here's what I mean by that. A 20 percenter is somebody who's in that 20% on the far right or 20% on the far left. And so the definition of a 20 percenter is that they're out on the fringes. But here's what a 20 percenter gives you or doesn't give you. A 20 percenter has absolute beliefs, right? If you don't have absolute beliefs about something, you're going to be more moderate. You're sure you're right, and you're sure the other side is wrong. The other thing about a 20 percenter is that they have a very skewed lens. That is, they cannot actually see both sides of the issue. They think they can, and they just assume they're right. But in fact, I've talked about this before, if you ask a 20 percenter to articulate the best argument on the other side in such a way that the other side would say, okay, that's a fair statement of what I think, they cannot do it. They literally cannot do it. I've talked to 20 percenters. I've asked them. I've stopped them and said, okay, I know you think that, you know, the liberal side is wrong here in the case of a conservative, you know, you think the other side's wrong, but tell me what would be the best case argument. If there were a liberal here who was articulate and knowledgeable, what would they say? I've done this about the flak tax or something. They say, well, they just think we should have a progressive income tax. No, that's not what the people that think about a progressive income tax think. It's just that it ought to be a heavier burden on the rich. There are several other pieces to that. I'll just give you one example. The whole talk of a flat tax conflates two issues. People have argued on the right that a flat tax will be fair and simple. I'm just going to deal with half of this argument, not the fairness, and there is a whole argument against the idea of a flat tax being fair. But you don't need to go to a flat tax to get tax simplification. This talk of let's turn our taxes in on a postcard, you can do that and still have a graduated income tax. All you need is a one-page tax table that people look up what they owe, and the more you make, the more you owe as a percentage. And you could still do your taxes on a postcard if, in fact, they could get rid of all the deductions in the thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of IRS tax codes. Chances are we won't get rid of that, but the right confuses those two issues, simplification and fairness. And I've asked any number of people that support a flat tax to articulate the view on the other side. They can't separate those two issues, and they can't see that they're using this issue of simplification to promote the idea of what they consider to be fairness, the flat tax, and whether the tax is flat or graduated has nothing to do with whether or not we simplify the tax code. It really doesn't. It's just one step looking up your tax in a table. And instead of a flat percentage, it'd be a variable percentage depending on how much you make. That's just an example of how 20 percenters on one side cannot articulate the views on the other. So now this brings us to Rush Limbaugh. Here he is on his show the morning of October 18th. That would be Tuesday. This is really rather unbelievable. Let's listen to Rush himself.
Moving on to the audio sound bites, yesterday, Michigan State University, a forum on the state of news journalism, ABC's Sam Donaldson says, how important is objectivity?
If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, you don't hear a lot of the other side. I try to...
Stop the tape! Sam, you don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. Otherwise, you wouldn't have said that. What do I do on this program? I set up exactly what the other side's position is. I'm the only one who'll do it honestly.
Okay, we have to pause there. So when he says, I set up what the other side's position is, it's interesting he uses that expression, set up, because there's another expression called set up a straw man. One of the oldest tricks in the logical argument book is to set up a straw man and say, okay, the other side thinks X, or somebody says X, and now I'm going to knock down that straw man proposal. Well, what you do is you set up something you know you can knock down. And that's what Rush Limbaugh does. He does not put forth a realistic viewpoint. In fact, most of the time when he's presenting someone else's view, he uses a whiny, nasally little voice to let you know that he doesn't think much of this position. Or he uses a pompous voice to let you know that he thinks the other people are jerks. Or he tries to mimic somebody. He does a decent Clinton imitation, which is a pretty easy imitation to do. He talks about the Reverend Jackson in a Bill Buckley kind of a sound and puts Jesse Jackson down. But he is unable to articulate the views on the other side. Let's let him finish his claim that he knows how to do that.
If I have a liberal guest on this program, I'm not guaranteed the liberal guest is going to be honest about what he believes.
Okay, he's saying, I could have a liberal on to represent the liberal point of view, but they'd lie to me. This is the old school this is the new approach that Republicans are using that says liberals hide who they are, and so they won't admit that they're for certain things. Rush, you could have me on. I'll tell you exactly what I think. I'll also take apart most of your arguments brick by brick because you are full of bricks.
So in order to establish what I believe and what I think, I set myself up by presenting the liberal point of view on whatever issue it is I'm talking about. So he's wrong.
So he's wrong. It's that simple. Well, let's listen to some of Rush's honest presentation of the point of view on the other side. So here is Rush Limbaugh from December 10th of 2004 explaining how the left feels about our soldiers dying in Iraq. This is his honest presentation of the point of view of liberals or the left or Democrats on our soldiers dying in Iraq.
There is an enormous cost to saving lives. We may have to rethink this, ladies and gentlemen, because there is an enormous cost here to saving lives. We're creating a generation of severely wounded young veterans and a severe shortage of military surgeons.
I need to explain the context for this. I heard this the day that Rush did this. There'd been a piece in the Washington Post about surgery and the people who were recovering it at Walter Reed Army Hospital here in D.C. And basically the piece interviewed doctors, and it talked about the fact that we have a lower kill rate in Iraq. That is, of all the soldiers injured, a smaller percentage are being killed in this war than were killed in Vietnam or in Korea or World War II. That's the good news. A smaller percentage are dying. But a larger percentage are coming back with permanent injuries. They've lost an arm or a leg, or they've got a head injury of some sort. Because the body armor they have protects the chest and the visceral organs and keeps people alive that might have died on the battlefield before, but you might get an arm blown off and now you may live. And so the article was a relatively fair presentation of this trade-off that more people are living, but we're going to have more people maimed that survived horrific accidents. And it was a pretty straightforward treatment of what our soldiers are going through. I read it that day. I thought, well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And then that afternoon, I guess I was driving around in my car, and I always inflict a little bit of Rush on me when I'm in my car during his show. And here he goes off on this article talking about how liberal the Washington Post is because they couldn't just report that there were fewer deaths. They had to then capitalize on the fact there were more permanent injuries. And I'm thinking, what worldview did you climb out from under? And of course, he's got the lenses on of a 20%er on the right who desperately wants to support the war in Iraq so that any bad news about the war, our soldiers, about injuries or death is taken as that's somebody that's fighting against us, that doesn't want us to survive, to win, to thrive, whatever. So with that context, here Rush continues now. That's why he was talking about the injuries and the deaths, and he was upset about it. He goes on now to explain how the left feels about deaths in Iraq. This is his ability to show what liberals think better than the liberals would themselves if they came on, because they'd probably lie about what they believe.
Because they're all on the front line saving lives. That's not good. What in the world are we talking about? Should we let them die? The answer to this is they're livid. The press, the leftists in this country are just upset that there are not enough deaths to get people outraged and protesting in the streets against the war. They're mad that these doctors are saving lives. They want deaths. They've been counting deaths up to 1,000. They hope that would get Bush out of office. They still want Bush out of office. Make no mistake about it. They still want Bush discredited. And it's all part of coming back in 06 and 08. And so there are too many lives being saved over there. These lives in old wars, they would have died. These soldiers in old wars would have died, like Vietnam. And we would have had people protesting in the streets. But now these surgeons are saving too many lives. There aren't enough deaths, so people aren't going to be mad. It's makes total sense to me. In fact, it's sort of like the left complaining when you tell them crime is down. Remember, one of the things I warned you about the Democrats, bad news for America is good news for them. Good news for America, bad news for them. They've doubled their bets. It's gotten to the point now where the more deaths in Iraq, the better for them, they think. The more lives saved in Iraq, the bigger the problem for them.
Okay, so that's Rush explaining to his audience in this way that he just claimed this week that he presents the other side's position honestly, and he's the only one that does. Very interesting. Let's go on. You think this is an isolated example? No, it is not. Here he is 10 days later on September 17th of 2004, talking about the Kerry's Democratic base and the hatred of the military among Democrats.
Now, you know, the media and the Democrat critics of the president are breathlessly, and I mean this, folks, I'm not exaggerating. They are breathlessly awaiting the death of the 1,000th soldier. It will be a milestone. I can't believe it. They're anxiously awaiting this so as to try to make political hay out of it against Bush. So we're breathlessly, eagerly anticipating on the left the death of the 1,000 soldiers so it can be exploited. It's sick. But the statistic I saw, do you know how many students commit suicide on American university campuses in America every year? The number is 1,000. You know how many Americans die on the highways every year in this country? Try 47 to 50,000. And here we've got 1,000 deaths in Vietnam in a war for the defense of this country and the insurance of our freedom. And everybody says...
Well, Rush had a couple of things wrong there. He had a little Freudian slip there and said it was Vietnam. But this is an old logical fallacy that you introduce other topics like number of suicides and the number of highway deaths. That has nothing to do with it. But his main claim is that the left was looking forward to more deaths in Iraq and so they could exploit it. I don't remember anybody particularly holding rallies over the 1,000th death. I mean, we knew it was going to come at some point last fall. It came. And there's no particular, milestone to 1,000 for me. It's a nice round number. But, you know, we're approaching 2,000 now. I'm sick about it. And what I think is interesting is I'm going to jump ahead to another cut that I have because this is very telling. This was Rush talking about Hillary Clinton and a statement she made. But basically he warns his audience and says, you know how to listen to these people on the left? And then he gives away how to listen to him.
Time for another big time El Rushbo, See, I Told You So.
That's not it.
This thing, I mean, it was just in the gutter. Some of these babes, I'm telling you, like the sexual.
That's not it either. I got to do my own finding of these things here. Where is that one? The one I want is, I thought it was 10.
Time for another big time. She had tough words for. If it were up to you.
Let me tell you something. The Democrats are more fearful. Let me tell you something. One of the things we've learned is that Kerry. There is an enormous cost.
I don't seem to have that clip. But basically what he said was, I've told you how to listen to these people on the left. All right? Because what they say reveals how they think. And I just thought that was so ironic because Rush does it all the time. And I certainly wish I could find that clip. I thought I had it here, but that's the problem. When you're your own engineer, it's worse than being your own grandpa. Let me go on now to another clip about how the Democratic base hates the military. Did we do this?
Now, you know, the media and the Democrat critics of the...
Yeah,
one of the things we've learned is that Kerry has two elements of his base. And that's why no matter what he says, he angers half the base. Half the base is so-called old, reasonable Democrats, and they don't hate the military. The other half of the base hates the military, hates America, hates Bush, hates the world, except for France and Germany. It's a classic illustration of their blame America first. It is a classic illustration of all that I have told you about extreme liberals and their view of the military. They hate it. They love it when the military loses. They consider the military the focus of evil in the modern world.
Well, I suspect there are a small, small, small number of ultra-liberals that feel that way about the military. I know a lot of liberals because I was a college professor, and most college professors are well-educated, well-informed, and liberal. I know a number of journalists because I've taught in departments of communication and I've come in contact with journalists through my work on the radio. And most journalists are well-informed and well-educated, and they're liberals. But none of them want the military to fail, whether in Iraq or anyplace else. You know, once we send people out to do something, it's an arm of our foreign policy. We don't want that to fail any more than we want negotiations to fail or anything else. It's the lenses of a 20%er that Rush has on that makes this so strange. In any case, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Rush because we got some more evidence for how he is unfair and, frankly, unbalanced.
You did choose.